Welcome to the Future of Medicine podcast. My name is Dr. Aaron Wenzel, and my hope is simple, that this show helps you along your journey to become the healthiest, strongest, and most vibrant version of you. This podcast is brought to you by Brentwood MD. Brentwood MD is located in Nashville, Tennessee, and provides best-in-class concierge primary care. Learn more about our innovative approach to primary care at brentwoodmd.com. Now, let's explore the future of medicine. Hey, everybody. This episode, Jen and I are going to be doing our kind of annual weight loss New Year's resolution episode. A little different. We're going to do some case studies. I'm actually going to be sharing my story of weight loss. And we share a couple of case studies from members that we take care of. The big lessons learned and the milestones. I'm really excited for you to listen to this. I think that you will be able to extract a handful of things and find them useful in your own journey. And let's jump in. Why don't you kick us off with the first case study,
Jay? Sure. Thank you. So the first case study is a 56-year-old male. The context behind his journey was that he had a lifelong struggle with weight. And he was a serial yo-yo dieter. So he was very successful at losing the weight. He would gain it back and then some, lose it again, gain it back. Medically, he had a known history of heart disease, and he was a type 2 diabetic since 2022. Mm-hmm. And we did the Cleerly heart scan on him, which showed plaque
some scary
burn
stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was on a fast track to
problems.
Very. Mm-hmm. He was kind of a dumpster fire. His weight actually ballooned up to over 300 pounds when I sat down with him and had a discussion with him about his weight. And then he began experiencing some chest pain and shortness of breath, which was a huge red flag that we needed to really focus on getting his weight down. Notably, his weight, he had a lot of visceral fat. So his belly, mm-hmm. his waistline was very
growing.
Large
yeah.
and growing.
Yeah.
Now, 6 months later, he's such a great success story. He's down over 80 pounds. He's normalized his blood glucose. He's working out 4 to 5 days a week. And he just comes in here with a new lease on life.
Totally glowing.
Mm-hmm. Look at me. You know,
so proud.
Yeah,
he's so proud.
Yeah,
and he should be.
And he, you know, texts us his milestones along the way, and of course we encourage him and want to continue to do that for him. But I think his breakthrough moment was that when I sat down with him to talk to him about his current state of affairs, we talked about his quality of his diet. But we also talked about how many calories he was consuming. And I don't tend to focus too much on calories with people, but something that he said to me was very enlightening, where he said, I eat about 1,600 to 1,800 calories a day. And I said, huh. And this guy is a very successful businessman. So I thought to myself, how am I going to frame this so that mm-hmm. he understands? Because in subsequent visits with him, it was always, I'm eating clean, I'm you know, not snacking, I'm walking, you know, 20,000 steps a day. And he was very proud of his physical activity at that time. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, there's no way you're eating 1,600 to 1,800 calories, not judging, but
right.
just looking at that as objective data. So we talked and I said, hey, XYZ, I said, you know, you're a successful business guy. If I asked you how many millions of dollars you made in your business last year, would you be able to tell me to the penny? And he said, oh yeah. And I said, so you wouldn't tell me about $10 million. And he said, no. And I said, so you can't tell me about 1600 to 1800 calories. So that was really hit him, I think.
It really connected with
yeah.
him.
And so he started journaling. Mm-hmm. I mean, really simply just started food journaling.
Reluctantly.
Mm-hmm. He didn't want to do it. Mm-mm. But he did, and he texted me probably like 3 days in and said, hey, my breakfast alone is about 600 calories. And I was like, yeah, like mm-hmm. that's you know, we have to get into more of a tighter calorie deficit. So that's what we did with him. We also, interestingly enough, put a continuous glucose monitor on him, which as a business guy, he loves data, right? So he was able to objectively see how food affected his blood glucose. So, you know, I eat, what was he eating in the morning? Like oatmeal or something, his blood sugar
I don't recall exactly.
Yeah, but he was able to connect the two where food actually does matter biochemically in my body with my blood sugar, my insulin levels, and being diabetic. That was really important to get that under control. And then we optimized his testosterone. He had tried shots and...
We tried for a long time.
And yeah, and he, you know, just wasn't very successful with the methods that we offer here. So he was able to do testosterone pellets, and man, he just felt so great on them, was able to have more energy, less brain fog, fatigue, you know, that's kind of those andropause symptoms. And he did really, really well. I think the lessons that he learned was, number one, you can't outrun your mouth. And this is one we see a lot where people say, well, but I'm exercising like 7 days a week and I'm not losing weight. Right. You know, exercise is part of it. But
for some, it's enough.
Yeah.
But for him, it was not.
It was not. Yeah.
And by the way, he continued to grow in his weight and sustaining tons of physical ailments as a consequence.
Right. His knees hurt. Really his heavy, back hurt.
Working out hard. That was a big deal for him.
Yeah. Big deal. And he started getting some momentum once we connected the CGM data and his MyFitnessPal data, you know, tracking his calories. Like, he really connected that. That eating clean isn't enough, and you can't guess on your nutrition.
Yep.
You know, some people can, you know, eat what they want. I'm not one of those people. I don't think you are. But most people cannot, and they really need to be aware of what's going in their mouth. And then creating a dashboard for optics. You know, we touched on this before. He's a data-driven guy. He loves that. So creating those optics for him where he could see his blood sugar daily, measure his calories daily, know his energy output daily, like those type of things matter to him that he could really focus on. And then he just started really being successful with that.
Yeah, I think for him too, one of the things I observed in the lessons that I learned about him was he's such a rugged individualist in his entrepreneurial business endeavors, where he kind of thrives where he controls beginning to end the process, and he doesn't hesitate betting on himself. And this was an area of success that was really eluding him. And the combination of food journaling and being enlightened to, oh my gosh, getting under the hood, what's really being put into the system. And then for him to see how his system was responding in terms of his glucose, it was so powerful for him. And what I'm noticing about him even at today is there is this tremendous momentum that feels sustainable for him because he actually has eyes on, he not only has experienced success, but I feel like he actually deeply understands why he's being successful, which making that connection, in my experience, is very powerful for long-lasting success when you know what it is you're doing that is producing the success, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
What about you? You have a really interesting story.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I have touched on it in the past parts, but I think this is a perfect format to share, you know, my experience with weight. When I reflect back on my life, it's filled with athletic events, sports, high performance, not academically. That's a separate story. I was a late bloomer academically. But military, just really identified with being athletic, active, strong, fast. if there was a ball and you're keeping score, like I wanted to play, like I've just always gravitated to that kind of lifestyle. And weight and weight loss were not something that were ever top of mind. I mean, they're always on my mind, like vanity metrics. I always kind of, you know, was pursuing a certain aesthetic. But, you know, struggling with weight loss was not like something I really truly identified with. Around 40, what happened in my life as a sequence of events was I finished residency. I started working in the emergency room, working a bunch of nights, growing my family, trying to figure out how to be an entrepreneur, and the challenges that come with that. And there was a 5-year period where I just stopped lifting. I needed more time, so I cut fitness. I didn't have the emotional or mental decision-making firepower remaining, so I didn't use any of it on my decision-making for food. And as a kind of a slippery slope, over the course of 5 years, I had put 44 pounds of fat on my body.
Wow.
Not pounds, but pounds of fat. And what's interesting is I was completely blind to it until I wasn't. And the reason was my scale was telling me that I wasn't gaining all that much weight. I had only gained 17 pounds over 5 years. So the net score on the scale, yeah, it was up, but, you know, not all that bad considering. Until I realized that 17 pounds of net gain was the combination of a dramatic loss of lean mass and a profound accumulation of adipose tissue.
Wow.
Along the way, I developed hypertension, insulin resistance, you know, truncal obesity. I was a walking metabolic syndrome. And that led me to my breakthrough moment. And I call it my Tom Brady story. And I was, it was one afternoon at kind of the peak of my like stuckness. And it was a ESPN special where they were documenting life after winning his, like, I don't know, maybe his, it was his last Super Bowl with New England.
Okay.
So maybe like number five or something. And he was living his fabulous life as a multiple repeat champion. And that morning on the show, they were driving somewhere, and somebody asked him, where are we going today? And he said, in the off season, I spend such and such amount of time with my throwing coach. And I literally stopped and rewound it and listened to it again. And I'm like, did he just say he is going to work with his throwing coach? This is Tom Brady. You know, arguably best quarterback in the history of the game. What does he need a throwing coach? What could that throwing coach possibly be teaching him? And sure enough, that's what he said. And I had to stop doing what I was doing and kind of walk around. And it immediately struck me. If Tom Brady has a throwing coach, who am I that I don't have a coach? I'm stuck. I'm lost. I'm floundering. I'm feeling kind of overwhelmed. And I don't have anyone holding me accountable. I don't have anyone pointing out my blind spots or watching my swing. And within 30 days, I bought and installed a home gym. I hired my very first and still to this day only trainer I've ever paid. Got a therapist, went to therapy for the first time and did it consistently for 9 months. And I immediately was like, I need coaching. I need someone to watch me and point out my blind spots. And that was a real big breakthrough for me when I realized as an athlete, as a young person, as a young soldier, I always had a mentor. I always had someone who I admired speaking into my life and pointing out areas of opportunity or underperformance, communicating expectation, and also demonstrating a path towards that success. And I had found myself in life as a father, as a husband, as a wannabe business owner. I had no one speaking into my life. And that was really the single biggest breakthrough in my life, was my Tom Brady story. And essentially, I fired Fat Aaron. I often refer to this old version of me, this 5-year version of me, that I had become Fat Aaron. And most people who know Aaron Wenzel now never knew that version of me, and are struck when I tell them the story that, I was pretty unimpressive. and I think those breakthroughs really led to some valuable lessons that I learned. As I mentioned, I realized I needed a coach constantly in my life to point out blind spots. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a high level of self-awareness, which I'm grateful for. But I'm only self-aware of the things I'm aware of.
Right. Yeah.
And there is something about the need that I have to have someone mirroring back to me what I can't see. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. The other thing, and I've talked a lot about this as an extension of my life lesson, and I encourage people to think about these things. But for me personally, everything changed once I burned the boats and I suffocated my excuses. Mm-hmm. So those things are the bedrock of the freedom I now experience in my life. Every freedom, as I think about, is rooted in this idea that, like, I'm fully responsible for everything. Mm-hmm. The good and the bad and the ugly, the past, my present, and my future, it's on me. Mm-hmm. And I'm suffocating any excuses, and I'm going to find a way, make a way, and I'm no longer going to be bound by my excuses. That was my massive lesson. I also learned that I was grossly underestimating the impact of punting my sleep. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's listened to my content knows that sleep for me, and by extension my members and the way I talk about it, it's always been in the top three, but it has become number one. Mm-hmm. My personal conviction as of right now is that in a head-to-head, sleep is number one.
Yeah.
Like a photo finish. And then, you know, diet, exercise, exercise, diet. But sleep still in a photo finish. Those three are the top three. The next big lesson was that alcohol intake, if I'm going to consume any amount of alcohol in my life, it into the future constantly needs to be audited. Mm-hmm. It can get away from you, and it's vastly underrated in its impact. Not saying it's good or bad. That's not my lesson. The lesson is, if it's going to be consumed for me, I must always have it on an ongoing audit. Mm-hmm. And then last thing, and this is something that I have instinctively known for a while, but even doing this exercise in prepping, I have recently come up with some language, and that is getting clear on my identity. Mm-hmm. Who I am, who I believe I was created to be, who I see myself in an ideal situation wanting to become, that identity fundamentally is shaping every single decision and behavior that I do today.
Yeah.
And once I got really clear on that identity, it became very, very obvious what behaviors I needed to double down on and which ones I needed to take out back and shoot. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it wasn't easy. I mean, it was hard. It requires courage. Mm-hmm. It requires conviction. But mostly, for me, it required clarity. Mm-hmm. And so I think I have that clarity now on who I want to become. And that is largely informing the version of Aaron Wenzel that people know now.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing your story. It's so good.
Well, I don't know if it's good. It's just it's just my story.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a testament. I mean, both of us are in this, I'm a little further behind in my journey than you are, but maybe not. I don't know. We teach this stuff and we struggle too.
No question.
And,
Yeah, I was a little nervous, but also kind of at the same time excited to share my story. My heart is that I'm in the arena with my people.
Yes, right.
I'm trying to figure this out too. Mm-hmm. And much of what you and I talk about on this show is just an overflow of our conversations we have with members and kind of our own personal experiences that we want to put into the world. And they're meant to land with who they're meant to land with. Mm-hmm. And the intent is just to be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our last case study is an amazing young woman. Why don't you break that down
Sure.
for us?
So she's 44. Mm-hmm. She's been a member with us for 2 years, I believe. Maybe longer, two or three. Mm-hmm. The context of her backstory is that as a young woman, she was very fit, active, and athletic. Mm-hmm. And now in her current state, she's a very driven, high drive professional woman.
Yes.
And we met her in 2022. And at that moment, she was at her maximum state of confusion, overwhelm, and weight loss fatigue. And what we mean mm-hmm. by that is she had, I feel like she's somebody that may have come to us saying, I've tried everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that she was really just frustrated with working hard and not getting results. And at yeah. that time, her baseline weight with us was 185 pounds. And then she got engaged, which was really exciting for her. Mm-hmm. And she had a wedding on the horizon. So she needed to develop some breakthrough pretty quickly. That was kind of the impetus for, let's stop messing around. I really need to get going.
Yeah.
Which is common, in a lot of people that we see.
Which also is known as panic.
Yeah, exactly. Especially as a female, you're like, oh my goodness.
I've got to be successful at something I'm actively not succeeding at.
Yeah.
And I'm on the clock.
Yeah. And I have a wedding dress to fit
in. I think a lot of people can identify with
yeah.
the sense of like, oh no.
Yeah. Talk to me, because you've met with her more than I have, I feel like, but talk to me about her blowing up holes. I think that this is a really cool analogy that you...
Well, she has newly discovered golf.
Mm-hmm.
And as a sports guy and a guy who also really loves golf, we, early in our discussions around the weight journey, we came up with this out of a conversation of like, I do really, really good until I don't, and then it just goes crazy. And I go, kind of like a blow up hole. She's like, yeah. Like, I'm playing a great round, but on the front nine, there's just one hole that if I could just delete that one hole, I would shoot really, really well. It's an outlier. And I seem to have one of those blow up holes on the front half and the back half. And if I could just eliminate those two holes, the round itself would be great. And so one of our key mantra in the beginning was recognize and try to eliminate blow-up holes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do have a blow-up hole, they happen.
Yeah.
So don't carry it to the next one.
A blow-up hole would be a bad day of eating, like a bad meal.
Yes.
One bad meal doesn't yeah. lead to a whole
one throw in the bad towel. Lunch doesn't mean the day is ruined, so we can go ahead and lose focus on dinner.
Yeah.
And that one day doesn't mean that week is shot, and that one week doesn't mean, like, the exponential consequence for not keeping less than ideal outcomes in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the blow up holes, eliminating blow up holes was a really big first lesson for her that she really identified with.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it because it gave us a really unique, like highly personalized, analogy that she completely identified with.
Yeah.
Cause that emotional experience anybody who's golfed is like, yeah, yeah, I can relate. You know, like I need to leave that hole on number six.
Yeah.
Because I can't take that into seven.
I need to regroup.
Yes. Because seven is a whole new hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that she identified with that. So when she really, when we really started honing in on her struggles and helping her was February of this year. And we started her on Zepbound, tirzepatide, mm-hmm. which is a GLP agonist. Mm-hmm. She did really well with that.
She really
did. And this is a good case study for, I mean, she was insulin resistant. She had hypothyroidism, like her free T3 in her thyroid panel was quote unquote normal, but she still had symptoms. And as a female, we see that a lot.
Subclinical
hypothyroidism. Mm-hmm. So we corrected that with some Armour thyroid. That was great. Mm-hmm. And she was really kind of hesitant to go on tirzepatide, right?
Well, she was just afraid, right? Yeah. I mean, at this point in her journey, she doesn't have certainty that anything she'll do will work. Mm-hmm. And she's now on the clock for her wedding, which is a very compelling reason for a young woman to really want to be her best in that moment on her day. I think there was she was just timid. There was hope, mm-hmm. like a shimmer of hope, but it wasn't like, let's go, this is going to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like a desperation, like a Hail Mary for her.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it felt very strategic.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you're open to this, we are really seeing some incredible unlock.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of fit the profile of someone who can get some unlock with this tool.
And by May, she was down 25 pounds. Mm-hmm. She was consistently losing about 2 to 2.5 pounds a week. Kind of hit a plateau, and that's when we added the continuous glucose monitor, I believe, to kind of show her, you know, let's see what's happening with your blood glucose. Maybe, you know, you're getting a little sideways on your diet or something isn't jiving with that. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, like so many people have experienced in why we end up encouraging lots of folks who maybe aren't getting the output that they deserve, mm-hmm. is to, hey, let's see what's going on in the hood. Let's slap this glucose monitor on and we think our diet is perfect for you, but what is your body saying?
Right.
What's your glucose response to all of these foods? And the feedback loop there, getting eyes really on what your body is doing every time you eat or do something specific, that feedback creates behavior change.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the combination of those two things for her was a major, major unlock.
Yeah, I love that. And then I think the lessons learned for her were the power of curiosity versus judgment,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, let's get curious about where we're at, where we could go, what kind of tools we have in the toolbox to help you mm-hmm. with that. And then courage and trusting the process. Like, this is a huge one.
Yeah.
I struggle with this a lot. Like, just less think, more do. You know, she had kind of been in her head for a long, long time about, you know, what to eat, how much to eat, you know, all of those things, but it was actually keeping her from being successful, the overthinking part.
Yeah, I mean, every new capability.
Mm-hmm.
requires a first step of courage.
Yeah.
And this was very real for her.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, it's still kind of real for her, you know, having to be continually courageous with this process. You know, she's at her goal weight, and we're exploring what life off this tool, which is requiring a whole new batch of courage.
Yeah.
You know, like, I finally got the breakthrough and I used this tool. I don't want to be on it forever, but I'm also now equally but opposite afraid of like going off. Will the weight come back? And we're exploring that.
Yeah.
And it's requiring more and more courage. And I think the lack of judgment of her need of courage has really been powerful for her.
Yeah.
Where she can kind of be like, okay, this is another one of those things where I have to be courageous.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And we just... It's been beautiful to watch her kind of lean into this and really reconnect with who she remembers herself being, but mm-hmm. it's been so long. There's this little bit of timidness still remnant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I think people can identify with that.
Yeah. And I think she, to your point with your story, you know, she's coming around to believing this is who she was meant to be. And I mean, you go from 185 to 125, like that's amazing.
In less than 6 months.
Yeah. And that she can do hard and scary things and have that confidence and, like you said, the courage to do that. It's great.
It's great. As we close this out, what I am curious, Jen, for you, how has your thinking, both as an individual woman, but also as a healthcare provider, how has your thinking changed over the years around weight loss, and all of the complexities with that? Mm-hmm. Like just high level, how has your thinking changed over the years?
I think if I had to put on a bumper sticker, it would be that all good things take time. You know, each case study that of the members that we presented today, you know, their struggle was not new. Like they had struggled with this a very long time, and it took sometimes 2 to 3 years to figure it out, not without our encouragement and help, but we can only do so much.
Right.
And this is a complex journey. There's emotional part to it. There's obviously a physical part to it. There's a biochemical part to it. There's a lot of rungs to the ladder.
There's an emotional, spiritual side of it.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, some people need the therapy component like you did in addition to diet and exercise. Mm-hmm. That was huge for you. Some people need a GLP-1. There's mm-hmm. no shame in that. These are tools that help correct your biochemistry to help you. And I'm very encouraged, having dealt with my weight struggles my whole entire life, to be in this time where we have so many options available to us. I mean, before it was like eat less and exercise more. That doesn't work for everybody. For mm-hmm. some people it does.
Sure.
But it doesn't work for everybody. And mm-hmm. and if you're struggling, just know, you know, the biggest takeaway for me has been stick with it, that it just takes some time to figure things out.
You and I have been hanging out almost 10 years mm-hmm. professionally, and have spent probably of all the topics we have spent time together thinking about and treating as a team, weight and metabolic disease is number one by far.
Yeah.
What is something that you used to believe to be true that you no longer believe to be true?
I think that there is no one size fits all when it comes to this. You know, you and I have, like you've said, we've been through a lot together related to this topic, and we used to be pretty dogmatic about keto or low carb and
whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that still remains to be true in certain situations, but it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to say, look, the research shows this, or we have new data on this. You know, we didn't have continuous glucose monitors when we were doing medical weight loss together. Mm-hmm. And now we do. So that's an amazing thing that we can add to the layers of how we help people.
Intellectual humility.
Yeah, exactly. Be okay with changing your mind.
What's one thing you wish people knew about weight and weight loss? If you could just wish everyone to know one thing, what would it be?
Never, ever, ever give up. Never give up. I mean, I think that's the backstory for my journey is, you know, I'm 53 and I'm still never giving up. And consistency over perfection, you know, try to find something that you can do every single day of your life around your diet, every single day of your life around your fitness, those little incremental increases compound over time, rather than the blow up holes where you're like, yeah, I'm a weekend warrior, I'm going to go to the gym this weekend and kill it. That's, in the long run, it's probably not going to help you much. It's great in theory, but like the consistent things that you do every single day are what's really going to move the needle.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. And find your team, right? We talk about this all the time. these case studies, I mean, we were able to help two people literally change their lives.
I mean, honestly, the hard part was just picking two.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
there's so many of them.
Right.
Well, I appreciate you as always.
Same.
And, hope this was useful. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much for your attention. It's the most valuable thing you could ever offer me, and I don't take it for granted. You can find out more about today's episode and all of the other resources we have at BrentwoodMD.com. Be sure to check out all the other content we've created by searching BrentwoodMD on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. If our content has ever provided you with value, it would mean the absolute world to me if you subscribed to our show and left a review. This helps us ensure more people just like you can find our content so they can begin their journey of optimizing health. To learn more about the concierge services we provide our members, visit BrentwoodMD.com. And now for the obligatory disclaimer. This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or the giving of medical advice, as no doctor-patient relationship has been formed. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should seek the advice of their own medical professional providers.